Well, good morning again. Continuing our series on why. Last week we talked about why Jesus, and this week we're going to talk about why the Bible. Why do we read the Bible, or why should we read the Bible? And that's what I'm going to be focusing on today, is why we should read the Bible. And, you know, have you ever gotten a box or a package or whatever, and you open it up and there's this big orange label right on the front? And I don't know if we've got that on the screen or not, but it says, caution, read this first. Ever gotten one of those? Yeah. You know, it's there's a reason for that. It might be an appliance, it might be a gadget or whatever, but it has that big orange label and it says, caution, read this first. You know, I think that's something that we should share with people when they come to know Jesus as their Savior, is give them a sticker like that or a piece of paper that says, caution, read this first. And because there's a reason for it. There's a reason for reading the Bible. And the Bible is the only book in history that's authored by God. It's the only book in history authored by God. Now, I know some of you are thinking, no, men wrote the Bible. Well, yes, men penned the words, you know, but the Bible is really clear. They were under the divine influence and direction of God as they wrote the words of Scripture. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we see witness to that from the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And it says, all Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. You know, as I prepared, was working on this message, I thought, wow, there's so much in this. I could probably spend months on just why the Bible. But if we just took this scripture, we could spend that much time on this scripture. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If we could back up to that first slide, that previous slide. All scripture is God-breathed. You know, when we, in John chapter 20, the Bible says that Jesus was talking to his disciples, and it says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. You see, God's breath, the breath of God, is synonymous with his Holy Spirit, with his Spirit. Go to that scripture, if you would, Mindy, that first there. See, so all scripture is God-breathed. That means God did author it. Right there is the proof. God's, through his Spirit, divinely influenced and guided men to pen the words of the Bible. And so why should we read the Bible? Well, it's useful. The Word says it's useful. For what? For teaching. For teaching us all kinds of things. It's useful for rebuking. For pushing back those untruths. Those twisted things. It's useful for correcting. Correcting, getting us on track. Getting us back on track. And it's useful for training in righteousness. You see, we have no righteousness apart from God. And it trains us about God's righteousness. And it imparts that righteousness to us. And here's this next part of this verse, verse 17, is why all of this. So that the servant of God, so that the Christian can be thoroughly, completely equipped for every good work. Equipped to do ministry. See, it's not the pastor's job to do the ministry. It's the pastor's job to train and teach and equip everyone else to do the ministry. And so, The Word of God is the only book. This Bible is the only book in history authored by God. I want to ask you a couple of questions, and I just want you to answer them to yourself. I don't want you to shout out your answer. And I want you to think about it before you answer. But just answer to yourself. Do you believe the Bible is true? Why? Why do you believe the Bible is true? Think about that. Think about it. Is it because you've always heard that? Someone told you? Or is it by faith? Why do you believe the Bible is true? If you do. Here's another one. How do you know what to believe? How do you know what to believe? We hear all kinds of things in the world today. If you listen to the media, the news media, and Facebook, and Twitter, and all the stuff that's out there, how do you know what to believe? Here's another one. How do you know who God is? How do you know who God is? And I'm going to kind of ask this last question, which kind of really answers where a lot of people get their information. Why do you rely on a third party, instead of going direct to the source yourself? Amen. Why do you rely on me to tell you? Why do you rely on the TV or someone else to tell you? The newspaper, the news media, TV preachers. Well, why do you say that, Pastor? Because statistics show that less than 10% of churchgoers read the Bible. Less than 10%. So that's why I say, why do you get your information from a third party when you can get it direct? Less than 10% of churchgoers read the Bible. Why? Some say they don't understand it. Cop out. Some, really, they just don't see the value in it, and it's not a priority. But I hope to convince you today that reading the Bible has value. It has value, and it's very beneficial for your life. So let's look at some of those things. Reasons to read the Bible. The first one is, it helps to transform your mind. It helps to transform your mind. You see, people form attitudes and ideas from all this stuff they hear in the world a lot of times. Romans 12:2. Look at Romans 12:2, if you will. Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what is God's will, what His will is, His good and perfect, pleasing will. You see, reading the Bible helps transform your mind, because people form their world views oftentimes by what they hear in the news or read in the paper or read in magazines or books or all kinds of things. And therefore they don't have a Christian worldview. They have a secular worldview. And many Christians have a secular worldview, unfortunately. You see, reading the Bible will affect your thinking, and your thinking affects your attitude. See, the Word is transforming because it's God-inspired, as we saw earlier. It's transforming because the Word is inspired by God. It's truth. It is truth that combats the everyday bombardment of worldly influence on your life. See, we live in a body, it's called flesh. And the flesh is selfish, it's self-centered, self-absorbed, which is what we see every day in the world. And by the way, oftentimes in the church. Ouch. It's true. See, reading the Bible transforms by building your faith. Reading the Bible builds faith, and we see how God works when we read the Word. You see, reading the Bible gives peace. Oftentimes when I've got turmoil or unrest, I get in the Word. Because the promises and the assurances in God's Word brings a spirit of peace to circumstances. And listen to this. Transform your thinking and you'll transform your life. Transform your thinking and you'll transform your life. Another reason to read the Bible is that it trains you to hear God's voice. It trains you to hear God's voice. Now, God's not going to come over one of these speakers or microphones. I mean, he could if he wanted to. But that's not how he works. You see, reading the Bible, you become familiar with how he speaks, with the ways that he speaks. See, hearing God's voice is something spiritual that occurs in your spirit. And it's often or always confirmed in the Word. Always remember this. God's voice will not conflict with his principles in the Bible. So if you think you hear from God and you're not sure, you check it with the Word. Because the Word will validate it or invalidate it. Remember, it's good for rebuking and correcting. God's Word, God's voice will never conflict. And God's voice, you know, there's scripture that says, God, there was an earthquake and rocks flew and fire blew and wind blew. But God wasn't in any of those. He came in a still, small voice. And you see, that's where he speaks to our spirit. Reading the Bible will help you, train you to hear God's voice, because there's a lot of voices out there. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I want you to underline two words there. Lamp and light. And that brings us to the third point. Reading the Bible gives personal instruction for life. Reading the Bible gives personal instruction for life. You see, God's voice gives direction when you're seeking it. He says, his word will be a lamp for your feet so you can know where to step. And it'll be a light to the path so you'll have direction. Reading the Bible gives direction, personal instructions for life. Now, let me ask you something. In speaking about direction, you know, we've got all kinds of things. We've got GPSs, we've got computers, we've got phones, all kinds of things to give direction. And so here's what I did the other day when I was preparing this. I called Siri. Does everybody know who Siri is? It has one of these dumb phones. And I said, Siri, I need directions to heaven. I got two whole pages. Let me share some of them with you. Heaven Tires, 3.8 miles. Heaven Event Center, 12 miles. Hot Dog Heaven, 19 miles. Seafood Heaven, 20 miles. Hubcap Heaven. It says Hubcap Heaven of LA, but it's an Orlando address, 19 miles. And then there was one that really interested, Rock and Roll Heaven. And then there was one, a piece of heaven, and the address is Yeehaw Junction. Now, some of you might not know where Yeehaw Junction is, but I do. You see, We have all this modern technology with satellites and everything. But nothing gives us direction like this. You want to know, you want directions to heaven, you got to go here. Some of you who have a little age on you, you younger folks wouldn't, they make, the technology has surpassed that. But can you remember the old swing sets you had to put together? They're made out of aluminum pipes. And there were different lengths and different sections. And they had a bag of screws and nuts and bolts and things this big, like 2,000 of them. And when you got done, you had 1,500 left. And you hoped it would hold your kids up. Sometimes life is like an unassembled swing set. You know? But reading the Bible can instruct you on how to put the difficult pieces of life together. How to troubleshoot things at times. How to find the missing parts. That's what the Word is good for. Reading the Bible will help you put together those hard pieces of life sometimes that we have to have and that we encounter. Go back just to your left to Psalm 119, verse 11. He says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." You see, the Bible gives us personal instructions for life. Oftentimes we speed through life grabbing a piece at a time, an issue or a challenge without a whole lot of thought or concern. And then all of a sudden one day we find ourselves in a situation we think, "How did I get into this mess? How did this happen?" But reading the Word and having it stored up in your heart, listen, it'll allow warning flags to pop up that caution us to either slow down, maybe stop, or maybe even back up. You see, we may have good intentions, and I believe most people do have good intentions. But the truth is, in life, many train wrecks result from what started out as good intentions. True? Yes, it's true. Trust me, it's true. Experience. Reading the Bible, getting to know some of its principles, and getting those principles embedded in our spirit, in our heart, will help us function and avoid malfunction. Helps us function and avoid malfunction. Reading the Bible also sows good seeds in your heart. Reading the Bible sows good seed in your heart. I think we've got a malfunction on the screen. So here's the point you need to write down. It sows, number four is sows good seed into your heart. Sows good seed into your heart. Listen, it takes work to produce a harvest. It takes work to produce a harvest. Many people want to live godly lives and have God's fruit in their lives without planting anything, without working the soil of the heart, without sowing good seed in it. Now listen to me, friends, listen. Showing up at church once or twice a month, or even every week, and that's it, that doesn't do it. That doesn't do it. Turn to Galatians 6. If you get to Ephesians, back up a little bit, one book. Galatians 6, verse 7. The New Living Testament says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God." See, God's a just God, a loving God, but a fair, just God. Not fair, just. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. You'll always harvest what you plant. The New King James says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." It's God's principle of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. It's a farmer principle. Sowing and reaping. It takes work to produce a harvest. Sowing the Word, the Bible in your heart, what does that look like? Well, it starts with reading it. Okay? Reading it. Then remembering some of what you read. Or even memorizing pieces of it. And then beginning to understand what it means. And then the big thing, applying it to your life. Applying it to your life. And you know, that's the hardest part. Because the Word is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting a lot of those things we don't like. We don't like to be rebuked. We don't like to be corrected. But that's what happens when we apply it. Apply it to your life. Sowing the seed of God's Word in your heart will produce fruit. God's fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Turn to Galatians 5. Back to 5. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that's patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Everybody got all those? All set? Carried with you everywhere you go? You see, reading God's Word, sowing that Word, this is what it produces. It'll produce these things in our lives. But those things have to be planted so that they can grow. And they don't just read it one time. I can't read that verse and say, "Oh, wow, that's great. I got all that now." No, I have to apply it. I have to remember it. I have to sow it in my heart. I have to till the hard soil and the hard places of my heart that don't want to let those things in. And then I got to keep planting, sowing, so that those things can be a harvest reaped in our life. And here's the point. Good seed produces good fruit. Good seed produces good fruit. Write it down. There's no way around it. You know, Jesus said that a good tree produces good fruit. Bad tree produces bad fruit. He says a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. Good seed produces good fruit because good seed produces good trees. And then the last thing today I want us to look at, the last reason for reading the Bible, is it reinforces your self-image. It reinforces your self-image. Reinforces your self-image. See, reading the Bible will tell you who God says you are. Amen. Not who people or the world say you are. And listen, especially not who the devil says you are. Right. You know, the devil will tell you who you are, what you are. And I'll tell you something else. I'll just toss this in because it came to me this morning when I was reviewing. You know, the devil will tell you good things to deceive you. He'll tell you, you don't feel just right this morning, so just, you don't need to go to church. You got it. You're okay. You read your Bible and you prayed this morning. You know, he'll tell you, yeah, you were right. You were right. You were right in that situation. That person offended you, and what you said was right. So you're okay. Back to the self-image. The enemy and even people will try to convince you that you're not who God says you are. I want you to hear this. If you're a Christian, if you're a born-again believer, the Bible says you're a victor, not a victim.
Amen. Amen.
You're a victor, not a victim. Quit being a victim. Why? Because Jesus died for the victim so that you're a victor. The Bible says nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing can separate you from God's love. You see, when you accept Jesus as Savior, the Bible says the old is gone, the new has come. The Bible says you have a great self-image. Listen to this. The Bible says if you're a believer, you have a great self-image because you have been created in God's image. That's a good self-image. That's a good self-image. See, reading the Bible will help you understand. As a born-again believer, you're not orphans. You're sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're adopted into the kingdom. You're adopted by God. You become sons and daughters. You're no longer orphans. And so we don't have any right or any reason to operate in an orphan mentality as a Christian. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And here's the last thing I want you to get here. And this is the point of reading the Bible. It reinforces your self-image because it affirms who God says you are. The Bible affirms who God says you are. Philippians 4:13. Here's an easy verse. I hear it thrown around all over the place all the time. But it's true. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, in order for that to become a reality, you have to read it, you have to believe it, and then you have to step out in faith. Reading the Bible will give you hope. It will build your faith. It will teach you who God is. And it will strengthen you to live out its principles, His principles. And so if you desire to have a stronger faith, I want to encourage you today to break the mold in the church. Break that less than 10% mold and start reading the Bible regularly. And you're going to find that you'll not only acquire an appetite for it, but you also hunger for it. It'll create a hunger for God's Word. The more you read it, the more you'll want it. Don't worry about what you don't understand. If you read through the Bible, there's enough in there that you will understand to keep you busy. That you won't have to worry about what you don't understand. That'll come. God will reveal it to you. Just as He inspired the Word, His Holy Spirit will reveal to you things from His Word. And so, let's pray together. Why the Bible? Because God breathed it into existence. Why read the Bible? Because of all those things we just talked about. And so I want to say to you today, if you got something out of this message today, I want to encourage you, apply it to your life. Do something with it. Don't waste it. The Bible says in the book of James that if we're hearers of the word and not doers, then it's just wasted. It's just wasted. So don't waste it. Don't waste it. And so as we're in this time of prayer, I just want to share something else with you today that the Bible says. The Bible quotes Jesus many times. And He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. In other words, no one goes to heaven except through Him. Through me, Jesus said. That means only by putting your faith in Jesus Christ and trusting Him as your Savior will you go to heaven. Not going to church. Not going to church 7 times a week. Not just reading the Bible and not hearing it and applying it. Not being a good person and working in food lines and helping take care of people. None of that will get you to heaven. Only through Christ will you go to heaven. And so I have one more question today. For everyone here. Is Jesus your Savior? Have you put your faith in Him as Savior? And ask Him to forgive you of your sin and take over your life? If you haven't, it's the most important thing you can do today is to put your faith in Jesus. If you haven't done that, will you do that? If you want to come up here, I'll pray with you and help you to do that. I'm going to ask our prayer partners just to move about the auditorium. There's some people in the aisles or the back that will be with you to pray. If you want to pray, somebody to pray for you, they'll pray with you. You don't have to go very far. Just step out of your seat. You know, this is something else the Bible tells us to do. It's to pray for one another. Pray with each other. Encourage each other. And all the more as we see the day approaching. What day? The return of Christ. Jesus is going to return one day soon. But He needs to be your Savior before that point. All bets are off then. If you need Jesus this morning, we'll pray with you. Any of these people will pray with you. Listen, it'll be the most wonderful thing you do in your life. No, it's not going to make your life peaches and cream. I'm not trying to sell you snake oil. But I guarantee it will change your heart. And it will secure your place in heaven if you'll put your faith in Christ. Do it today. If you need prayer for anything, there's people here, you may be sick, you may be hurting, pray. Let us pray with you, whatever it may be. God wants us to pray about everything.